From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
How do you scale yourself? This is a question that entrepreneurs all wrestle with in some way or another. Of course, there is just never enough time in the day. We are not able to do enough things. But I would hazard to say that this problem is felt most acutely by people who have built a business that in some way extremely heavily relies upon their expertise or their insights or their personality or something. A coach, a consultant, a person whose business is primarily driven by access to them. So what do you do when your calendar is all full? When there's just no more of you to give? When you're at 20-hour workdays and that's too much and there's no way you're going more? What do you do? Well, I recently had a conversation with someone who had wrestled with this problem for herself and came to a really interesting solution and also is just extremely insightful about how to get there. So I want you to meet her.
Hi, I'm Esty Rand, and I help business owners earn more money with less headache. That is what I do.
But the problem was that doing that had, for quite a period of time, turned into quite a headache for Esty.
We're missing deadlines, clients are getting frustrated, and I'm just the big bottleneck.
And maybe you have some solutions in your head right now. You could raise your prices, you could bring on more staff, you could train a second Esty. Believe me, Esty tried it. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about why it failed. She tried everything. And yet, it was just impossible, it seemed, to scale herself. Every client wanted her. There was no way to add more to the business without adding more her. And that is just the one thing you can't do. As an entrepreneur, you are limited. You are limited to being one human being. You cannot increase yourself as a human being. So what do you do? Well, Esty finally came to a fascinating and great conclusion. It involved totally changing the value proposition, the expectations of her clients, while still managing to deliver the same value. And so today on Problem Solvers, I want to bring you my conversation with Esty. It's super interesting, and I hope will give you, if you are now the bottleneck, a way to think differently, a way to reinvent, a way to, dare I say, sort of actually scale yourself. Coming up after the break. I'm guilty, you're guilty, we are all guilty of the following crime. We complain to other people about how busy we are.
Oh, I'm so busy.
Boring, boring, we're all busy, no need to brag about it. Instead, why don't you actually do something about it? Like, you could hire Belay. Belay is a revolutionary productivity service that provides growing organizations with virtual assistant, bookkeeping, and social media strategy services. Belay can help you reclaim 15 hours every week just by delegating 5 tasks. And do you have things to delegate? Oh yeah, you do. Emails, scheduling, booking travel, planning meetings, expense reportings. This is the stuff that eats up our time and makes us so busy. So hand it off and start focusing on real work. Want to get started? Belay will kick things off by giving you a free download of a delegation worksheet. Just go to belaysolutions.com/problem solvers to get it. Again, that is Belay, B as in boy, B-E-L-A-Y, belaysolutions.com/problem solvers to get your free download.
And now, our next sponsor.
If you listen to Problem Solvers, then you know that running a business means constantly solving problems. Endless to-do lists, employees to take care of, and your ever-present bottom line. So here's something that'll solve one of those problems right away. It is called Gusto. Gusto built an easier and more affordable way to manage payroll, benefits, and more. They help over 100,000 businesses with tasks like automated payroll tax filing, simple direct deposits, free health insurance administration, 401ks, onboarding tools, you name it, Gusto made it easy. And they really care about the small business owners they work with. Their support team is attentive and helpful. And since money can be tight right now, you will even get 3 free months once you run your first payroll. Just go to gusto.com/problem solvers and start setting up your business today. You will see what I mean when I say that it's easy. Again, that's 3 months of free payroll at Gusto. That is G-U-S-T-O, gusto.com/problem solvers. All right, we're back. So today we are talking about how to scale yourself. And we are doing it through the story of a woman named Esty Rand, who helps small businesses grow. And before we get into what her problem was exactly and how she solved it, let's talk about how to get into this kind of business in the first place. How did Esty become Esty?
So back in 2011, I was actually working as a CIO of a multinational nonprofit. Loved my boss, loved my job, had flex time, which was so important because I had 3 little kids. And then they hired this really toxic middle manager who made my life miserable. Came in like a bull in a china shop, just destroying everything. We had this skeleton team. He took my team. He's like, your team is my team. Your trip to Argentina is my trip. Moscow too. And you're my new secretary. I was like, actually, I'm the new leaving person. Bye.
I like it. I like being the new leaving person.
Yeah, I was the new leaving person, but I was terrified, right? I was the sole supporter of our growing family. I had no idea where money was going to come from. I couldn't stay. And at the time, it was the very beginning of the small business boom. So I had this dream. I would just see all these little people advertising, people advertising these little weekly advertisers that go out locally. I'd be sitting at cafes and I'd overhear conversations like, I'm going to sell cupcakes for $1. Oh my God, that's such a great idea. And I'd be like, duh, like I could help you. I went to business school. I've been running businesses profitably since I'm 10 years old. I could help you, but like, how do I become a business consultant? I have no idea. I was an employee, right? I don't know how to do this.
Yeah. How do you become a business consultant?
Yeah, I had no idea. So I was actually being interviewed by this headhunter who's a former McKinsey consultant. And I'm sitting with her and I'm like idolizing her. Like, you work for McKinsey, now you run from your living room. Like, you're everything I want to be, you know? And at one point she looks at me and she says to me, Esty, what's the dream? What do you really want to do? And I was like, I'm going to confide in her. She's going to help me. And I said, I want to do small business consulting. I see all these people, they're trying to make a go of it, and I know I could help them. That's what I really want to do. And she looks at me, I'll never forget. She's like, Esty, no one will hire you. No one will pay you for your advice until you have another 20 years C-level experience. No one's going to take you seriously. So that wasn't how I figured it out. That was part of what pushed me to figure it out. But I'm the kind of person when you're like, you can't do this. I'm like, I'm going to show you that I can, actually. I'm going to show you that I can. I just started. I actually took a coaching course a few years prior because I just liked helping people. I didn't want to be a therapist because I absorb other people's problems. And so I was like, how can I help people but not absorb all their problems? I was like, I'll do coaching. And business coaching appealed to me the most. And I just started getting out there.
What does it mean?
You want a funny story? So I put out a little ad that I'm running a business workshop and 2 people signed up. You can't run a workshop for 2 people. So I called them both back. Was like, hey, I'm so sorry. We got to push this up. Nobody's coming, but I'll let you know when we do the next one. But people saw the ad. I kept networking and I went out there and I met people and I told them what I can do, even though I wasn't doing it yet. And I said, yeah, this is what I do. Now, never mind that I wasn't doing it, but I knew I could do it. And I just kept telling them. And then I started getting clients. I got clients who saw the ad for the workshop, but didn't come to the workshop. We're like, oh yeah, I see you're doing this thing. What does that mean? I was sitting at a cafe once and one of my early top clients who I worked with for 9 years afterwards, his wife was at a table next to where I was meeting with someone and she overheard the conversation. She's like, my husband needs you. I'm going to tell him to call you.
Amazing.
You know, and that it just started and it just kept rolling, growing. And the dream was to build what I have now, which is a full service creative consulting firm, multinational, clients on 6 continents, staff in 7 time zones. This is what we do all day.
So the reason why I wanted to talk to you is because you wrestled with this moment that so many people do, in which they build something off of their own expertise and their own hustle, and the business is really them. And then it turns out that they, as a human being, one single human being, have a limited amount of time available, and then they max out, and then they can't figure out how to scale. So fast forward me to this moment where you recognized that you had scaled yourself as much as possible. What did it look like? Did you have any infrastructure around you? And what was your idea of how to solve that problem?
Yeah, so probably about 2.5 years ago is when I hit like absolute max capacity. I've been busy before, right? I've had my busy seasons where I'm booked 3 weeks out, but about 2.5 years ago, I turned down like a $15,000 contract. And I was like, and I turned down just because I didn't have the time. And I was like, okay, like this is now broken. Like that is definitely called leaving money on the table. And again, from day one, my dream was to build this full consulting firm. There, you know, there'd be me, there'd be other people. And so I had been trying to train other people and trying to bring them in, and no one wanted to work with them. They only want, and I was even like, okay, but working with me is gonna be really expensive. We're like, we don't care. Like we know your reputation. We know you can solve this for us. We would rather work with you than this other person who's cheaper. And we had a full implementation department, but everyone who worked with our implementation department, so building logos, websites, social media, all the marketing implementation assets, they wanted me to review it. So even as the team built and oversaw it, they're like, what did SD say, right? They need my voice notes. Mm-hmm. So it got stuck. I was working 20-hour days. I would work all day, try to go home for dinner, kiss my kids goodnight, go back to the office. I'd be there till 2 a.m. and I still couldn't fit it all in. And I was just, okay, now we're stuck.
Right.
This is what it looks
hired,
like.
I just want to put a point on this. You had hired all these people so that you didn't have to do everything yourself. But the problem was that the expectation from the client was still, look, they signed up because of you. Therefore, they want you involved in everything. It doesn't matter that you hired all these other people. They still want you. And I assume that trying to go out and bring in clients and say, look, you're going to work with my company, but you're not going to be able to access me because I'm just too busy. That was not a pitch that was going to fly. Like that wasn't a way to scale this business.
No. And I tried it even, and no one wanted it. Like no one ever bought that option. It didn't sell.
Right. So, okay. Now you've got to figure it. Now you've got yourself a problem because you've got an entire team. It's not just you that's not scalable. You now have an entire team that's not scalable because it's all anchored into one person and one person that isn't scalable.
Correct. So, I'm the bottleneck. I'm the constant bottleneck. So everything is getting delayed. We're missing deadlines. Clients are getting frustrated. And I'm just the big bottleneck.
Right.
And I'm the business strategist who's supposed to be, and I could figure this out for everybody else, but in my own company, I'm the bottleneck.
Right. And did you try, instead of just hiring implementation team people, did you try to hire another you?
So I did, and I tried training them, and there were two problems. One, they couldn't do what I did, right? The depth and breadth of my experience over the last decade of doing this, I couldn't replicate, and no one wanted to work with them. Like, it wasn't just that I couldn't get them to do what I did. I couldn't get anyone to be willing to pay us to work with them. They were like, basically people said, listen, either I'm working with you or I have these other names of other people that I've heard of. But like your person working with them is about the same price as working with these other people. So then the competitive scale changes, right? So now I'm working with a competitive industry, right? It's not me versus the competitors. It's my team versus the competitors. So it changes the whole marketing. And for me, some people I was too expensive for, so they're like, forget it. But for the people that wanted to pay me, again, it got to a point where I had nowhere to put them.
Right. Well, so this is, and what you just said there sounds like the beginning of another, what would feel like an obvious solution. So let me ask it to you, which is just raise your rates so that you have considerably fewer clients who are paying you a significant premium. And then that solves your problem because you're able to scale on revenue and profit alone because you're just taking on fewer clients. Is that something that you explored?
I did that. Within 1 year, I basically raised my rate about 5x almost.
Mm, wow.
Yeah. And I still left money on the table and my heart hurt. Because I started my business to service micro business owners, those who are just starting out, those people who are talented, they're motivated, and they, for the most part, get really bad direction and really bad help because all the good people go up and they go into corporate and they quadruple their rates until they're unaffordable. And they leave the little guys with all the inexperienced people who don't know what they're talking about. And those are my passion. Those are the people I created my business to serve. And so I didn't feel good that a lot of them couldn't afford me anymore. I didn't like it. Forget that they didn't like it. I didn't like it.
Right. So it was a solution. You could have gone down that route, but that would have transformed your business into something that you just didn't want it to be. Is
correct.
That fair?
And you even there, you hit a ceiling, right? I raised my rates from, let's say, the highest of the low end to the lowest of the top, if you will, right? So it changes the competitive landscape. And even then I was leaving money on the table. I was maxed out at those levels. Like it gets to a point where you're like, now what? If I price any different, I'm going to lose them all, right? Because then you jump markets, then you lose everybody. Then you have to change everything you do. Your branding, your marketing, your everything. So it just, it was stuck.
How long was what we might call the proto-solution phase of your business here? You've realized that you've maxed out and now you're trying different options. You're raising your rates. You're trying to hire another you. These are solutions to the problem that aren't working, and they're not ultimately the solution that you went with. So that's why I'm calling it the proto-solution phase. How long was this?
Probably like 3 to 6 months.
Okay. Oh, wow. I mean, that's a lot of action in 3 to 6 months. That's a lot of like raising rates and trying to, a lot is happening.
A lot is happening. Again, I'm a small business myself, so I can move quick because every new call that I have, I don't have rates listed on my website. So every call I get, it's a brand new client. It's a brand new sell. I could change my rate from yesterday to tomorrow and try it again and see what happens. And there were days that I was doing that. Yeah. I was like, well, let's see. Yesterday, that rate got taken really easily. Let's see, we raise it another 50, see what happens.
Right, I see. So that's how your rate suddenly just rises really, really fast.
Really, really fast.
Yeah, because you're just experimenting on the fly. You're just seeing what the market will bear as the market keeps knocking on your door.
Totally. Totally. And it helped a lot more than I thought.
Right. And there was no, before we get to the solution, there was no part of you that said, you know, I went out into this world to try to help micro businesses. And what I found is that I'm just too special. I'm too good. People want to throw money at me. So I guess I'm just in a different business. I mean, like that is a decision you could have made. You could have said, look, I'm just a premium service now. Somebody else will help the small businesses.
I could have. And over the years, listen, you know, like yourself, I've interviewed tons of those people on my podcast, the ones that charge $10,000 a month or $10,000 a day or $10,000 an hour. And I've interviewed them and I've met them. And I know what that life looks like on the back end. And it's not what I wanted. So I had those moments because
wait, what does it look like on the back end that you didn't want?
Two things. It's a huge amount of promotion and a very small amount of clients. So you look really cool. You look really exciting. You look really top notch, but you have to do so much to stay there, right? You're getting featured in all these premium places. You are constantly having to up your game to look worth that rate. And not that many people can pay it. And I'm a weirdo, but I actually like working. I like working with my clients, right? I don't like working to the bone 20-hour days, but I love helping people. I don't want to have one client a month, even if it pays the same as 20. I want to help more. My goal was to help a lot of people. So I did consider it. I do know what that model looks like. I've helped others build that model and it works for them. It's not what I wanted.
Mm. Okay. So 3 to 6 months, you come out with some conclusions. One, you cannot raise your rates high enough to sustain the kind of business that you want to run and the kind of business person you want to be. Number two, there's no possible way to just bring in other people, train them to do what you do, and have clients be satisfied with that. So how do you think through what your next option is?
So I start to look at group options. I had taken a group program myself somewhere in the middle of all of this. It was the first time I ever took like an online group course. I hadn't really known much about the industry. It was like really brand new for me.
And I was like, being, sorry, I just wanted to define that. That means that you're not working with individual clients. You're working with clients as a group.
Correct. Meaning, so the program I took that I then modeled was you have these online pre-recorded trainings. And then you have these group coaching calls where you're answering people's questions and working with them one-on-one in a group, right? If they get hot seated. So their questions are getting answered.
And they feel like they're in some kind of cohort, like some sort of class together.
Kind of. Yeah. And it's nice because there's a group energy and there's a group support. But again, I spent almost a decade working one-on-one with people. I have a ridiculous client privacy clause. One of the reasons people come to me is I don't advertise who I work with. No, I'll work sometimes with businesses that I know they know each other, but neither knows that they work with me and I'm not telling them they're not. So to put people then in a group where they get to know each other, it almost like I always took pride. I had a line on my old website, which is like, you know, if you want a client testimonial, call us because we don't post any. Like, we're not going to tell you who's worked with us. Like, we don't work with Exxon and CBS and Google. Like, we work with the little guys and they don't want you to know. So we're not telling. So, but I took this program and I was like, this is fascinating. could I take what I'm doing with people one-on-one and give them the same level of transformation if I do it in a group? Because that was my real question. It has to serve. I don't sell things that don't work, because part of how I'm in business this long, and I don't pay for marketing ever. I haven't paid for marketing in 10 years, 12 years. I don't, right? I had zero in paid advertising. And part of that is the stuff we do really works. And so can I take what we're doing, put it in a group, and these people who won't work with a strategist or with any of my staff, will they be willing to work with me if it's one-to-many and not one-to-one? But I was getting all these calls from people, and I was telling them the price point of working with me one-on-one, and they're like, no. And so I would seed it, and I'm like, you know, I'm considering doing this group program. You'd be part of it. It's like, you know, you just seed it with people. You're having these one-on-one conversations anyways. Would that be something you might consider at this price point, at that price point? And I was getting a lot of yeses. And so I'm like, okay, I wonder if I could really do this. I had tried to do it once before, a year or 2 years prior, and it failed miserably because I had no idea what I was doing. I just tried, because I did exactly what I laugh at my clients for doing. Not a joke, right? I always say, like, okay, picture this. Olden days, right? There's this guy, and he comes to this town for a business, and he's in this town, and there's a fire. And so guy pulls out a little fire bell from his pocket, rings it, and all the townspeople come running and they put out the fire. He's like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I never saw anything like this. He's like, in my town, you know, we all run to the river with buckets. And by the time we get to the fire, the house is burned down. But you guys have this bell is genius. So when he finishes his business in the town, he swipes the bell. He's like, listen, they made it once, they can make it again. And he goes back to his town. And, you know, within a couple of weeks, fire springs up and everyone starts running for the river. He's like, guys, wait, wait, I have something so much better. And he pulls it out and he goes, ring, ring, ring. And nothing happens. He's like, ring, ring, ring. And nothing happens and the house burns down. And it's like, no, idiot, the bell is just the signal. So this is how I explain and teach marketing. It's like, you put out this logo and this website and this whatever, you ring, 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 but you missed the entire thing you had to build behind. Of course it didn't work. So, you know, a couple of years ago, I was guilty of the exact same thing. I did a webinar and I'm going to do a webinar and I'm going to sell a program because that's what everybody does. And I did a webinar and nobody bought the thing I was selling because I had no clue what I was doing.
And there it was.
And there it was. I rang my little fire bell and the house burned down. But this time I had been testing. I had been seeding. I had been studying. How do you build an online program? How do you sell from a webinar? Like, there's an actual methodology here. This is not haphazard. This is a thing. So I had been studying it and learning it and taking my own courses on it. And I had
Can you share, for someone who hasn't even dipped their toes into that but have been thinking about it, what's like step one and two? Like, what are people missing that they don't realize is the foundation of doing that kind of thing?
Okay. Step one and two, which I consider the foundation that most of the people who don't know this miss, is you sell it before you make it. Most people do it backwards. They make it, then they try to sell it. Wrong. Sell it and then make it, which means figure out what the audience wants to buy, test the market, talk to people one-on-one, which is what I was doing, run 50 webinars if you need to, right? I only end up running one, but do it enough times until you find something that the audience wants to buy. Then create it once it's been sold. So that's really step one. And the other thing that I think a lot of people miss, which maybe is step zero, maybe this is even before one, have an actual process that you use that you know that works that can be turned into a program. I can't tell how many people I meet are like, I want to make an online program. I'm like, on what? Like, I don't know. Isn't that a thing? Make an online program? Like, okay, do you have like a patented process? Like, do you have a thing you do with people where you can replicate it, do it again and again, and then put people through it and it works? And so you do it one-on-one, you could do it in a group. That's the starting point. Don't start with the group. Start with the singles. Build it on the people. But at this point, years after I tried that first launch, I had a process I was taking people through and it was almost cookie cutter. But again, I couldn't get people to do it with strategists because they wanted to do it with me. And so that was what I created the course around. I found the pain point. I did it with the one-on-one conversations. Then we did this webinar launch. And I'm telling you, I was shaking because I was completely ready to have the same thing that happened the first time, which is that nobody bought anything. I was ready for that to happen again. But worst case scenario would have been like that first thing I did 12 years ago where like two people buy it. Cause then you're like, great. You know, what am I going to do with two people? But 37 people bought it on its launch, which was mind blowing. I was like, oh my God.
And these are 37 new people, like not past clients or people. Who are these 37 people?
Of who came into the program, had any been previous clients? Maybe two or three had worked with me one-on-one at some point, but the rest of them were all new. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They were all new. They were all new. And it blew my mind. I was like, oh my God. You know, like you have these moments in business where you're like, this is going to work. This is actually working. This is actually happening.
Yeah.
I was like a little kid. I was like jumping up. I was like, oh my God. This is going to happen. I'm going to make this program. It's a real thing. It was amazing.
So you create this thing, 37 people sign up. Now take me, let's put this in a little self-contained unit or something and go back and fit it into the problem that we were talking about 5-10 minutes ago. You're trying to scale. You can't figure it out. You've built a program. That sounds interesting, but I could imagine that now you've got a program. Now you've got one more thing that's stretching your time. You still have a bunch of clients who want your time. So how is this a solution to your problem?
So here's where things got very interesting. Once I had the program, people who kept saying, no, I'll only work with you. I'll only work with you. So they were like, oh, I could do it at this much cheaper price and still have part of you. And we added a very interesting tier, which we call our VIP, where people are in the program. They get to work with me once a week on the group calls, but they also get to work one-on-one with a strategist. So now all the people who wouldn't work with my team, but the price point is so different and they still get me and they have the group and it's so much cheaper, suddenly it's okay. It's a different offer. And suddenly they're okay with this offer. So that's what started happening. I offered the VIP in the first cohort and I did it myself as a trial to see what it would look like because it's so much less of my time once the trainings are pre-recorded because I don't have to teach and coach. I teach once and that sits and then I'm just coaching. So already I could do that cheaper than when I was working one-on-one with clients and I'm teaching coaching in the same breath, if you will. And then once I did it once with those people, I brought in my strategist, did the training with me, with them. I teach a 1-2-3 training method, right? I, we, you, right? One letter, two letters, three letters. So first you watch me do it, then we do it together, then you do it on your own and I watch you until I'm happy and then you're good. So once that was running, then the strategist can start running it. I train them through the program, through watching me do it, then they're doing it. And now it's just a thing. And once I get the first 2, 3, 5 people in, now I've got testimonials of people who did the program with the strategist and are getting the results. And it's so much cheaper than working with me. Suddenly people who said they'll never work with anyone but me, suddenly they're like, oh, you mean I can get the same results I could get working with you with this? Oh, okay.
Right. You changed the value proposition.
Completely. Completely. It's a different product offering. It's a different everything. And then my rate went higher again. So working with me became really a premium offer because my time just maxed out. And suddenly everything started to split. And I now, it's very clear which pieces of the audience, where they go, right? People come in, they're either a basic, they're a VIP, or they're a private. And we're building in some other things as well now to start to spread that.
And I'm going to guess that you now no longer have the same reservation that you did about raising your rate and becoming more exclusive because you've created a way to continue to serve the original client that you were setting out to serve.
Correct. Because that was hurting my heart. Not a joke. I'm such a weirdo, I know. But now I don't feel bad at all. Correct. I did. It hurt me to tell people my rate sometimes because I knew they couldn't afford it. I know them. I know their business. I worked with hundreds of them over the years and it hurt me. But now when I get on the phone with someone, I'm like, listen, they come in, they want to work with me. Right? That's how they hear about it. And I say, sometimes they come in, they want to come into the program because they've heard about the program at this point. But I say to them, this is my rate, or I can give you this result in this way. Like it'll be the same. It says not exactly the same, but for what you need, we put hundreds of people through this already, you will get what you need. And I can say that with confidence and it changes everything.
And when did this come into place? How long have you been running it like this?
The program launched about 2 years ago, January 2019.
And would you consider yourself maxed out now?
No, I am totally, totally thrilled. I'm not maxed out. I'm enjoying life. I'm enjoying my business. I was in Cancun for a week and a half. last year, I was in Tenerife for 2 weeks when, you know, we were still allowed to travel in February of last year. Mm-hmm. And I was working from there. And now we're redoing it. We're building new programs on other things because now I know the model works. So now I can confidently, I know how the model works. I know how to replicate it for other trainings and other teachings and other things. And so instead of meeting someone and being like, oh, you can't afford me and you need this help, I'm like, now I know what my next program looks like.
Right.
So my time is used completely different.
Yeah.
Completely.
This is a super valuable object lesson, I think, in how to figure out how to scale yourself. And the answer is that you almost have to transform what it means to be yourself. That's the kind of takeaway that I have, right? Like the most amazing thing about this is that you ultimately are serving your clients something that you tried to serve them before, which is like, hey, come work with somebody who works under me. Come work with a version of me that isn't exactly, and people weren't into that. But when you created what felt like a totally different product, where they felt like they were getting the same thing that they were looking for originally, suddenly their expectations shifted and they were willing to try it. And that's what broke the logjam.
Yeah, it really did. And I had to change in order to do it. I was so nervous because when you take that step, you can't really go back, right? When you take that step to change your rates, yeah, I could market to a brand new audience and pretend, but like, it's very loserish. No offense. You know, it's like, oh, I'm this expensive. Oh, no one's buying from me now. Well, then I'll have to backtrack. You know, so I had to take that leap of faith, if you will, because let's say I was charging, I don't want to be open about rates because I don't like to, but let's say I was charging $200 an hour. And so if you're going to work with me at 200 and then the program's going to cost you 2000, you're like, well, that's the same. Right. So now I got to change my rate to $1,000 an hour and the program's only 2000. But if you work with me, it's 20. So suddenly it's like, well, if I work with you, it's 20. If I need you for 1 hour, it's 1000. But for 2000, I get you for 8 weeks and I get all this material and I get everything I need. The value changes, but you have to be willing to change your baseline hourly value. And that's scary. You have to own it. And I got to the point where I owned it. I was like, all right, I see what I do in an hour. I see what other people do in an hour. I see what people pay for other people to do in an hour, and I know what I'm worth now. Got it.
Perfect. Esty, this is super, I think, really, really useful. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, how do they do it?
So can I actually offer your audience a free gift? Would that be okay?
Sure.
Okay. I like giving out presents. So the best way to get in touch with me is to go to estieran.com/free gift, estieran.com/free gift. You'll see there how you can reach out to me and the team, but you also get a present and it's a 5-day marketing success challenge because I just like to help people and it gives you the clarity and confidence to market yourself and your business successfully. Goes through everything from finding your uniqueness in a competitive marketplace, your client's 2 a.m. problem, hacking social media from an organic perspective, verbal pitch, how to use your strengths without spending any money in advertising, and a couple other fun things.
By the way, can I just say, all right, now this is the interview is over. It's just back to me now talking. When I heard Esty drop in the free gift when I had asked her how people can get in touch, I thought, that is so smart. That is so smart. When people ask me that, I just give them my website and I tell them to listen to the podcast or follow me on Instagram. Or, you know, be like, no, free gift. Take notes there. You should do that too. I am actually in the process of doing that right now. I'm building the free gift that I'll eventually drop to podcast. Anyway, thank you to Esty Rand for sharing her story. And I hope that it has inspired you to think, look, there is only so much of you to go around, but there are so many different ways to change the way that you deliver value to others, and that can make all the difference.
And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.